Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Divisional weekend is upon us. It's Carmen and Yurko live in the First Midwest Bank State Street Studios. Hope you're having a great day. Remember, you can watch us on Twitch today and every day. Follow the station at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Join the chat, twitch.tv, or download the Twitch app. We're going to get to Field Yates and talk football here in a second. If you missed the news, if you've been in a big meeting or something, you've been away from the phone and the radio, the Bulls news today is not surprising. If you heard Billy Donovan speak last night about some of the injuries, specifically about Lonzo Ball, there is something going on with that knee. It's not been responding to treatment. We know now, and I think it was Shams Charania at the Athletic and Stadium who was first to report that there is a small tear in his meniscus in his left knee. They are going to spend the next 24 to 48 hours, according to Woj, evaluating this and deciding if they need arthroscopic surgery. That timeline would be about 4 to 6 weeks. So it does still put Lonzo, you know, on path to return at some point this year. We'll see if they opt against surgery, what that timeline might look like. But Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball, it sounds like Lonzo's much more serious at this point. Neither will make the road trip. They're going on a three-game trip that starts with a very big game on national TV on ESPN Friday night up north in Milwaukee against Giannis and the Bucks.
It's a big one, Carl.
There's that news. We'll continue to follow that. 312-332-3776. If you want to jump in at any point, let's get to the Corona Hotline and talk football, Bears, and divisional round with our buddy Field Yates. Field, how are you, man?
Guys, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, as always. And bummer for the Bulls. It's been fun to watch so far.
I know, it has been. And we'll see what happens with Lonzo. Before we talk about the games, just real quick, I'd like your thoughts on what's happening with the search here up and Lake Forest. They've cast a pretty wide net, obviously. I mean, it seems like they're interviewing just about everybody. I'm just a fan and a radio guy. You know, I'm like George McCaskey. I'm just a fan.
I know you are.
That I don't have to
make these. I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
That's me. I don't have to make these ever-important decisions. And I could be very wrong, but, man, Matt Eberflus, Les Frazier, some of the names you hear, they're uninspiring to me. I don't know that it's necessarily the right way or the most important thing to get an offensive coach, but when your most important commodity is Justin Fields, to me this screams for another offensive coach. What do you think about this search and whom the Bears should hire for head coach?
First of all, I think that seems to be the theme this year around the league, is that we're, now almost 2 weeks removed from the end of the regular season and still no hiring in place whatsoever. So there are no arranged marriages during the head coaching or GM cycle that we are currently aware of. And we still have eight, if you want to include the Raiders, in terms of head coaching vacancies right now. So the Bears are being thorough, but it seems like that's the theme around the league. The Vikings are being very thorough with their head coach and GM search. The list goes on and on and on. I think it's fair to wonder whether an offensive head coach makes the most sense because of Justin Fields' presence in Chicago. I also wonder if there is a defensive coach that has interviewed for the Bears job that, even though he is a defensive coach by trade, might be just too obvious of a candidate to pass up. And to me, that's Brian Flores. And I understand that how things ended in Miami seemed to be a little bit of who's reporting you read, but I tend to be sort of a bottom line as it pertains to head coach evaluation, the guy, and 19 wins over the past 2 years. Yeah. Like, that to me seems like the kind of guy that seems to have a pretty good grip on what he is doing. It was not always the easiest of circumstances. I've spent a lot of time around Brian Flores. I believe firmly in the person that he is, clearly a leader. The Bears, obviously, I think the path for them to rise up quickly is more offensive than defensive because of Justin Fields' presence. But I do think that Brian Flores could put together a darn good defense with a defense that already does have some important pieces in place. So I just think you factor in the leadership, the fact that he just did it, the fact that he's got some cachet and believers around the league. And I think he would be able to find an offensive coach. I understand the pushback will be, hey, he had, four offensive coordinators during his time in Miami. But I do think that when you are relieved of your duties as the head coach, it quickly forces you to do some self-scouting and figure out where things went wrong. So I think Brian Flores is ready for another gig right away. I think he'd be a great fit for the Bears. I don't know how much of a front runner he is or is not, But to me, he seems like one of the ideal candidates for this gig.
Well, you make some salient points there, because while I might not be all that inspired by Matt Eberflus or Les Frazier, no disrespect to a great former Bear, it just wouldn't get me going much. Brian Flores, I think, would get me a little bit more excited. So we'll see where this all goes. Field Yates joining us. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Four games to preview. Let's do this. The first game, Bengals at Titans. Derrick Henry being back makes a world of difference. Although, as Yurko was quick to point out, they still lost probably their best player and they still are the number one seed. Maybe that speaks more to the AFC this year. But how healthy can he be? How productive can he be? And how much does it affect ultimately the game plan and the script for the Titans getting Derrick Henry back at home this weekend?
Yeah, you think he'd be well rested. I mean, he's got, by the time he actually plays on Saturday, if my math is correct, he will have had somewhere between 7 and 9 practices under his belt. And those were obviously varying degrees of practice. Some days the Titans were just going through basically walkthroughs during their bye week, and he may not have been hitting every single day. But you'd think he'd feel pretty good for a guy that underwent a significant procedure earlier on in his foot. And it's, of course, a running back. I mean, nobody puts more, or I should say not nobody, but, you know, certainly one of the positions that puts as much wear and tear on its lower half as any other in the NFL, especially when you're a 250-pound alien running back who carried the ball 30-ish times a game before he went down. I think it'll be okay. You know, I do believe this is a team that they are by hook or by crook, right, which is one of those cliches. I don't always know that I love its usage, and yet the Titans keep finding a way. 12-5 this year was never pretty. Mm. It felt like this was a team that, I mean, you look at their point differential relative to others around the NFL, and, like, it reflects a team that you expect to be something like, I don't know, 9-8, 10-7, and 65-point point differential. The Cowboys, just by comparison, had 172-point differential. Wow. Like, there are a bunch of teams that were way, way better in terms of that point differential category. You know, the Titans have the number one seed in the AFC. So I think Derrick Henry gives them the edge. I think they're going to win this game on Saturday. I think that their defense, specifically their defensive front, is probably the difference for me, is that the Raiders were not able to replicate their week 18 pass rush against the Bengals last week. I think the Titans can disrupt both the Bengals running game and also an offensive line that's been better recently, but certainly not an air, not like this is a dominant offensive line in Cincinnati.
Saturday night, the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, San Francisco with a quality running game and a willingness to run, going up against the Green Bay Packers with the great Aaron Rodgers. What do you see here?
Yeah, this is one of those games where I think Green Bay's better. I think they're going to win on Saturday. And yet, it's hard not to feel like a little uneasy just because of what we saw from San Francisco this past week, right? They go to Dallas. They could have easily won that game running away, and Dallas found ways back into it with a couple of one turnover in the second half and then a near turnover. They could have really tilted the scales of that game. That being said, guys, Green Bay, if you go back and look at the run that they went on after their week one blowout. So after week one, when they lost to the Saints 38-3, you look at the rest of the season, they lost one game with Aaron Rodgers as their starter for the entirety of that game. They had the game against the Chiefs, they lost 13-7. They had the game in week 18 where they played Aaron Rodgers for a handful of drives. They lose 37-30. Other than that, they're 13-1 with Aaron Rodgers after week one of this regular season. They just feel to me, and I'm sorry to say this, in Chicago, they feel to me like the odds-on favorite to win the NFC, to win the Super Bowl.
Like they own the NFC,
we kind of
right?
know it, too.
They own the NFC.
Yeah, it just feels like that's where we're headed, and I understand that people are expecting them to flame out because they have in previous years, and, you know, some believe that the home field advantage matters less compared to where it was in previous years as well. I tend to look at them as, you know, balanced on offense. They can win with a running game. They've got two good running backs. Obviously, have a very good passing attack. You've got Aaron Rodgers, a defense that, you know, it gets some reparations in the form of Za'Darius Smith and Jair Alexander, and those are huge. But I also think, guys, like, defensively, they've been opportunistic enough, and they are helped out enough by the offense that even if those guys come back and aren't major difference makers, to me, it's not going to be the thing that sinks their ship. I think the Packers, honestly, the part that probably scares me the most, and this is going to sound, again, a little ominous in Chicago, is that, like, Mason Crosby had a tough year.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't a great year for their special team.
Yep.
And as we have seen in recent playoff games, you see it all the time, really, in the NFL. Like, when the games get tight, special teams can be the difference between a team advancing and not. So, to me, that's probably the biggest weakness for Green Bay going into this game.
Are there too many injuries for the Bucs to overcome at this point as they host the Rams?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about the Bucs, to be honest with you. And I know it's weird because if you go back and look at the score of last week's game, you're thinking to yourself, all right, they whooped Philadelphia. It was 31-0 before Philly got on the board. But as you guys, we all saw it, right? It was not certainly not a game that felt as disparate as the score with the Jets. And, yeah, it's just weird. It's like you, Tom Brady. It's like Brady drops back to pass and hits Rashad Perriman. And you're like, wait, what? Rashad Perriman, right? Like, he would have been about 13th on their depth chart last year. Now he's playing some critical snaps for them. And same with some other guys that aren't, you know, Chris Godwin or Antonio Brown or players of that caliber in terms of ability. So I do think that Tampa is vulnerable this weekend. I have the same issues that everybody else has. We'll see whether or not Matthew Stafford can be trusted in a huge playoff game on the road. I thought he was fine last week. I didn't think Stafford was bad. I didn't think he was great. That game was won because the Cardinals imploded and the Rams defense really played excellent football. But I think that Los Angeles can go and win this game. I got to be honest with you. They are a team that strikes me as like built for Los Angeles, right? They kind of have like the star appeal and just like the glitz and the glamour. And I feel like going to a warm weather climate might be what actually helps them out. Like, I don't know that I feel nearly – that team just struck me as uncomfortable when they went to Green Bay earlier on this year and played in the cold. Now, they lost the game 36-28, so it's not like it was a total blowout. But still, they scored 11 points in the fourth quarter. That game was – it was like 36-15 or something at one point, or 36-17. So Green Bay took care of them once. I think they can do so again if they wind up meeting in the NFC Championship.
We'll save the best for last, Bills and Chiefs. I mean, can the Chiefs D do enough to stop Josh Allen? It feels like maybe the last team with the ball wins this game, but I don't know that the Chiefs defense can do enough to stop Josh Allen, and they certainly didn't in the first meeting of the year.
Yeah, we're on the same page here with this one. You know, the Chiefs obviously you earned what you get when you come this far, right? I go back and look at that massive winning streak that turned their season around, and you got wins against Daniel Jones and the Giants, Jordan Love, the Raiders, who they just owned during the regular season. Remember, the Raiders dipped hard. The Cowboys, who we learned along the way, are kind of like craters, and the Broncos, like they had the games in which they've really been challenged by an opposing offense. They played that Chargers game on Thursday night where the Chargers kept going forward on fourth down and probably left, conservatively 6 points on the board. They win that game 34-28 in overtime. They lose to the Bengals. They couldn't stop, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. So we'll find out. You know, I don't want to take away – you don't control your schedule. But I do think that the Chiefs are in for a difficult matchup on Sunday. I think that Buffalo goes there. I think it's a Buffalo-Green Bay Super Bowl is where we're headed personally.
All right, Field. Enjoy the weekend. Great stuff. We appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Sounds good. Take care, and we'll be in touch soon.
Sounds good, pal. Right, there's Field Yates from ESPN breaking down all the games, and he sounds like he really likes Brian Flores, too, for the Bears job. If they're going to go with someone that's not an offensive guy, Brian Flores would be the man he would choose, it sounds like. Coming up.
Leftwich,
Daboll. Flores, I could probably be talked into. Eberflus, not so much. Les Frazier, not so much. Right here. Coming up next, the bravest woman on TV. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
McKnight at the Movies coming up in 13 minutes. Oh, you don't want to miss it. He's on to a new theme, too. If you were with us last week, you might remember. Because now that the Bears season is over, Connor's
now doing Bulls opponents, right?
He's going to do something about Giannis. Something about Greece is going to be...
By the way, Giannis quickly moving up the board, Carm. He's now number two in the MVP. Yeah.
We got two. My Big Fat Greek Wedding, if you're going to do something about Greece, go. Right? My Big Fat Greek Wedding. You can go with Mamma Mia. Was it Mamma Mia on the...
I don't remember.
That on the Amalfi Coast, or was that down in Greece?
I don't know.
Well, the point is we get Zorba the Greek.
Zorba. What about Greece, the movie? John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John.
Now you're getting creative there, Meller.
And Olivia Newton-John.
Now I'm thinking like Connor.
That's right.
So I'm gonna set today's over under at 20 seconds. I'm gonna challenge you both.
I got it. I got last week's in what, about 7 seconds?
Yeah, you got it right away. I was proud of myself.
So you're saying 20, Meller?
I'm taking the under on 20 seconds.
All right.
Anybody else have a thing for Olivia Newton-John? Oh, I think on. You guys are a little bit
no,
young.
No, but come on. Please.
But back then, when she came out in that little black
in the black pants,
leather pants,
I saw her in concert in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah?
3 years. Yeah. Very good. Yeah,
yeah, come on.
Boy, when she said, let's get physical, I said, I'm in.
Not too young for that.
I'm in. Yeah. Let's get
Olivia
physical.
Newton-John.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're the one that I want.
You're the one that I want. Hopelessly Devoted to Food was the one I used to sing for myself. Hopelessly Devoted to Food. That's right. Oh, man. Who didn't like to eat when he was a kid?
Those leather pants.
Yeah, she looked good.
Listen to this. Have you seen this now? I don't know. First of all, you got to see the video. If you're going to hear this maybe for the first time, right, I don't know. But then Google it when you get a chance, when you're somewhere safe and you can watch the video. This is a reporter on live TV in West Virginia. Okay? And I think what had happened was there was like a water main break. They had some freezing temperatures. Then the water starts to freeze on the road and conditions are bad. This woman's doing a live report. I don't know, somewhere off an expressway or something.
We had a water main break. That's what happened, right?
Listen to this. This is WSAZ, the SAZ, in West Virginia.
And now we're starting to experience, unfortunately, in freeze thaw, we see this, water main breaks.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's first for you on TV, Jory.
Woo! We're all good. I'm okay. Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good. I actually got hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
Wow.
I am so glad I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're okay. We're all good. This is, you know what? It's, one
sure
woman
you're
band.
Okay, Jory?
We're good, Tim. Ma'am,
sure
you
okay?
are so sweet, and you are okay.
So
it is all good. You know, oh, Lord.
So you...
You know, it's my last week on the job, and I think this would happen.
So you were
specifically
bumped
to me, Tim.
Were you bumped down low, Tori, or were you hit up high? I couldn't really tell from the looking.
I don't even... Do you know if I was bumped down low or up high, sir?
I just saw you disappear.
I don't even know.
Screen.
I don't even know, Tim. My whole life just flashed before my eyes. But this is live TV and everything's okay. I thought I was in a safe spot, but clearly we might need to move the camera over a bit.
Yeah.
So let me do that while I'm thinking of it.
Now, just to set the stage for you once again, Tori's in an area right now where there's been a water main break. So there are emergency vehicles around there. And a lot of times what we have seen in those kind of situations are when emergency vehicles are around, there's a lot of confusion from people about drivers about where to go. So it's possible
people
that's
get
what
distracted
happened there.
A little bit.
Yeah.
The woman's a trooper. I mean, she's giving the play-by-play basically. She's getting hit. She falls. This car hits her. The woman goes crashing into the camera. She's like, I've been hit by a car.
I've been hit.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
Did she have to reset her own camera?
I think so.
Yes, she did.
They don't have cameras anymore. This,
no
everybody's
cameraman?
So cheap, it's terrible.
Yeah.
She's putting up her own camera.
I've got to move my camera.
This woman's like, let me move my own. Let me get up.
So there's no backup for her. Somebody telling her, hey, there's a car coming.
No.
There's no backup then.
No. All of a sudden, she gets hit. Now, there's a few things here. First of all, the anchor.
Well, Tori, with the first on national live TV, Tori.
Did you get hit high or low?
I mean,
I just got hit by a car, you...
Well, Tori, that's a first. You just got hit on television.
And now we're starting to experience, unfortunately, in freeze thaw, we see this, water main breaks.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's perfect.
I'm okay.
Tori.
Hey, Tori, that's a first. You got hit by a car. You just got run over.
You bumped down low, Tori, or were you hit up high?
Tori,
I couldn't really tell.
Really shattered because you just got run over by an SUV. That's a first time here in West Virginia.
Or your wrist.
What?
I don't even... Do you know if I was bumped down low or up high, sir?
I just saw you disappear.
I don't even know.
Oh, just saw you disappear.
Now, the other crazy thing is, did you
hear her? She announced her retirement.
She's announcing her retirement on there. I don't know what she's going on.
No, she's
going.
For a week.
She's from Philadelphia, and she's going to work at WTAE in Philadelphia. She starts February 1st.
It's my last week on the job, and I think this would happen.
They're going to be playing it up on WTAE and WTAE.
Oh, Clark, Philly. That's how you promote it.
They're
going to
be playing that up. Look at who we just hired.
Ooh, we hired the toughest reporter in America.
Tori Yorgi is her name. Did you hear her say that she got hit before in college by a car?
Yeah, that was the biggest swerves of all swerves.
Tori, I'm going to give you a friendly piece of advice, Tori. don't go near traffic anymore.
I actually got hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
I mean,
what?
You've been hit twice by a car just like that.
It's
if
like
I'm Tory,
struck by lightning, man.
I'm not going anywhere near traffic anymore. Yeah. I'm not going by the street. I'm not going by highways. I'm not doing my reports by highways. None of it.
Nothing.
How about the ridiculous coincidental timing where Tim is throwing the report to her? It's live TV, as she has just told you, and the timing is impeccable. She gets,
I mean,
you know, good thing it was just a car rolling away. Obviously, it wasn't high speed. She was okay.
Yeah.
But
it looked like the car had lost control probably on the ice, right, or the water, and goes sliding into this poor woman.
And the camera, they just go right to her, and then boom, you know.
Sorry, you might have a concussion. First time ever on live TV.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay. I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
This guy's like, well,
that's a first for everything.
I couldn't believe his reaction. Tori Yeager,
I'm okay.
Man.
Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good.
What's her name? Tori Yeager? Tori Yorgi.
Tori Yorgi.
You're the winner of the day. You're a champ.
She is champion.
I mean, she got up. Oh, let me fix my camera and I'll do my live report here.
We're all good.
Remember the time the car almost crashed through the building here? Poor Ravi was on TV.
The corner.
Remember? Yeah.
It was the corner.
At least
there.
You know what? The bejesus out of Ravi.
And you know what? That's why he's an anchor in a number three market.
Yeah.
Because he showed a little emotion.
Well, I mean, please, a car comes barreling through the glass.
It's a white van. Remember that? Yeah. A white van. That's why they've got all those stanchions up front now.
Yeah, I know.
Those steel bars that are buried like 20 feet into the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Scared the crap out of
me. Only as strong as the concrete that surrounds it.
Kid. I thought I was in a safe spot.
No, you were not in a safe spot, but Tori, good for you.
My whole life just flashed before my eyes.
Unbelievable, man.
It's crazy stuff.
You talked about the most impressive things we saw yesterday. That was it. You guys went.
We went sports.
You went on and on about.
We went sports.
Yeah. Well, that's
true. The most impressive sporting thing.
In our defense, I didn't see it till this morning, so I couldn't classify it as yesterday.
Well, I'll give you that.
Carmen, have you as a reporter, you've never been really. Have you ever had an incident where something happened when you were doing a live report where something happened? And
no.
No, nothing?
I don't think so. I remember one year. I was very young on the job, and I had to be because it was when Michael was running the Wizards. So this is like before the comeback.
Right.
You know, this is like, so what would that have been, 2000 maybe? I remember we were at the, where were we? Were we at, must have been at Moody Bible, I'm guessing, for pre-draft camp, right? And Michael was up in the rafter, up like in the, I don't want to say rafter, but kind of like the rafters. There was a portion of the gym at Moody Bible up on the opposite side of the bleachers. There was like a second level, and Michael was sitting up there. And now this is like 99, I mean 2000. Think about the timing. And you know, I remember being in a huge swarm of reporters and cameramen, camera people, and I'm talking like 30 of us, maybe 35. And as Michael tried to duck out the back door, I don't remember who went first. Might have been Peggy, might have been Lou
Oliver.
And it could have been Grobber. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? Somebody like made a mad dash to chase him, and we all followed. And I'll never forget Michael ducking out this back door, and we were on the second floor going down this staircase, this metal staircase. And I thought for a second, I'm like, one misstep here, and we're all going to go down, and somebody's going to split their head wide open on these stairs. I honestly remember thinking it for a second, like, There was pushing and shoving and cameramen with their big cameras and everybody trying to get their microphone and Michael's. And it was no holds barred. It was like, it was my introduction, my indoctrination. Is that what it would
be? Yeah, it would be an indoctrination.
Into like, this is what it's like.
Your initiation.
You're on the job. Like, doesn't matter if we fall and crack our skulls. Michael's getting out of here and we need to get a few minutes with him. And we're charging down these stairs in this big mass.
Yeah,
after Michael.
Dangerous. Dangerous.
Yeah, it was like super dangerous. I don't recall ever like a car. I don't think so. Though.
Have either of you ever been hit by a car?
I've never been.
I've had my foot rolled over by a car going slowly in a parking lot. But
never
yes.
been hit by a car.
I've had my foot rolled over by a cab.
Yeah.
At a fairly, you know, it wasn't fast, but it wasn't slow either.
But it hurt.
Rolling.
Yeah. I did have that. Well, luckily nothing broke. Go figure. Rolled right over my foot. Nothing broke.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens.
The metatarsals distributed the weight. That's what happened, kid.
I don't know.
It worked?
Woo!
Yeah. Well, Tori,
we're all good.
I once saw Tom Waddle go crashing through recycling bins and garbage cans. Like he was an out-of-control truck.
Well, that's where he belongs sometimes, doesn't he?
Boy,
did you see him?
He went hard after both of you guys.
I don't understand what's going on. I mean,
about the toffee. He's not happy.
Listen, there's dairy content in there. It needed to be refrigerated. So if anything, the guy that opened it, me, was worried checking to see if it was still okay. I found it to be still okay.
I don't understand his vitriol sometimes. Like,
it's just angry, random angriness.
But unless I once saw Waddle.
He's been hitting the head a lot.
I once saw Waddle. We were at Bourbonnais, and this was like after practice between shows, so there were no fans around really.
Right.
We were goofing around with the football.
Yes.
And Zetterman.
Danny.
Is playing quarterback. I'm just trying to play defensive back on Waddle, which isn't a good idea.
Sure.
Good technique, when Waddle though. Gets a step, I mean, Danny makes this nice pass. Waddle actually lays out. I mean, he goes against
it. Extends.
Right? He extends. Not laid out.
Yeah, he extends.
He extends. I'm trailing him.
Mm-hmm.
I see him make the catch, and he gets super excited because he made the catch, but he's so old now he can't stop himself.
Can't stop the
He literally no. went crashing into a set of garbage cans and recycling bins.
Yeah.
He blew them to smithereens.
Right.
I mean, there was... I'm telling you guys, blew them like bowling pins. These things get flipped upside down. There's garbage and recycling comes falling out of them. Waddle's laying in the middle of it and this pile of garbage.
Happy because he made the catch.
And he made the catch, and when I realized he was okay, of course, I busted out laughing. I mean, we couldn't stop. I couldn't believe it. It was, and I turned around, and I think I looked at Danny and whoever else was there. We had probably had some production people there or promotions people. I said, somebody please tell me they got that on camera. Nobody had it on camera. We've got everything on our freaking cameras.
Yes.
And nobody had their camera rolling.
Tommy.
To capture Waddle going pouring into these garbage cans.
What kind of move did he make on you? Did he stop and go?
He kind of just like overpowered me.
He engaged, probably gave him a bump into him.
Yeah.
Gave him a little bump to take him off stride. And then a little elbow push off and he was clear.
And he got clear of me. And Danny made a nice pass, you know, and it was I'm telling you, he went piling.
And listen, Carmen, once Carmen gets in the trail technique, he is truly in the trail technique.
Trailing Waddle, I'm like, oh, he's got a step on me now.
Yeah. Old step and a half.
Did you at least touch him down?
I touched him in the garbage.
No Eddie Jackson routine from you.
Eddie Jackson missed tackle.
He's laying in these garbage.
Did you ever look back?
Goes over and touches him.
Did you ever look back for the football, or did you just keep your back turned to the quarterback and just... The Eddie Jackson technique.
No, I touched him down. I did. And then I started laughing. McKnight at the movies next.
We're good, Tim.
This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000. McKnight at the movies. Connor McKnight recreates classic cinema on Carmen and Yurko. Only on ESPN Chicago.
Every Thursday... At this time, we play McKnight at the movies. Connor McKnight teaching a master class in this subject. Now, he's phenomenal at this.
Phenomenal.
He's pretty good.
Carmen and Yurko, hope you're having a great day. So we'll play along with you. We do not know the movies. We don't know the scenes. We don't know the movies. Got last week's pretty quick.
You did, yes.
It was Father of the Bride. Meller has set the over-under at 20 seconds, and he thinks we're going to get it in the under. He's got money on the under here. So let's see how fast we can do it. And if you're fast, you'll win the gift card. 312-332-3776. That's the number to dial when you think you know. You have to tell us the movie. Here we go, McKnight at the movies.
Our scene opens on a darkened room. We look over the shoulder of one man, his image blurred, onto the profile of another. There's music in the background. Something unplanned is going on here. It feels very formal and serious, this interaction. Our main character is slightly perturbed by an interruption to his schedule. It's clear he'd like to not be involved in whatever this is, but his friend explains to him calmly the circumstances around this next task, and the older main character assents.
Meller, I think you lost the bet.
Yeah, not me.
I have maybe a guess, but I don't know. Damn. If you think you know, 312-332-3776. Darkened room, music in the
background. It's the last time I put my faith in you guys.
Darkened room, music in the background.
We got our winner already, Carm.
Damn. All right, hold on. Let's play part two.
A bit about these actors. We've had some heavyweights in this bit, but I'm not sure any more so than in this scene. Our main has it all. The resume, the Oscars, he's fathered a superhero, he's fought wars, he's sailed ships. The other actor with a heck of a resume and a gold statue, too. Back to the scene. A third man enters, and he's not up for any hardware at all. This guy might actually be a statue. He's clearly uneasy in meeting our main character. He's prepared a speech and brought notes.
Now I got it.
That doesn't seem to stop him from bumbling through what he'd like to say. As he bumbles, we get a cut back to the face of our main character. Clearly a leader of some kind. Powerful and menacing, too. Maybe that's why this lunk of a man can't get through three sentences in his presence.
I got it now.
You feel your shame now?
Yeah.
Maybe I do. It's Connor.
I'm still like.
I feel the shame.
Do you feel it?
Yeah.
I feel it a little. There's a great clue in that second part that really gives it away. There's a sneaky good clue that Connor dropped. I don't know if you caught that, but here's part three.
Another interruption in the scene. A few stray kids have run in, and they're quickly corralled by the boss's advisor. Must be some kind of family gathering to have these kids get into the office like this. Anyway, after pledging his allegiance, the big guy announces his exit, kind of like a 7-year-old would. There's something endearing about it. That wraps the scene. But just one more hint. This movie came out the same year Dick Allen won his MVP with the White Sox. He should be in the hall. This movie definitely is, considered by some to be the finest movie ever made.
I like how Connor worked that in. Get some love for Dick Allen. Hell yes. Good call, Connor. The great clue in there was he fathered a superhero. That's a good clue. I like it a lot. Jack in Wicker Park. What's the movie, Jack?
The Godfather.
It is The Godfather. Jackson, my friend, nicely done. Sit tight. Make sure Merck's got all your info, and we will send you the gift card. And keep it real in Wicker Park, my old stomping grounds. It is The Godfather. It is the scene with Luca Brasi, and here is the reveal.
He's not on the list, but Luca Brasi wants to see you.
Is this absolutely necessary?
Is this necessary?
He didn't expect to be invited to the wedding, so he wanted to thank you.
Don Corleone, I am honored and grateful that you have invited me to your daughter's wedding.
On the day of your daughter's wedding.
On the day of your daughter's wedding. And I hope that their first child be a masculine child. I pledge my ever-ending loyalty for your daughter's bridal purse.
Thank you, Luca. My most valued friend.
Don Corleone, I'm going to leave you now because I know you are busy.
Thank you.
It doesn't get any better. So, and my wife thinks I'm a big dope most of the time anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. And, but I always, at the, you know, when you go to a wedding, there's usually a book, right? You sign a little message for the bride and groom.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I always write, may your first child be a masculine child. You know, my wife, she's like,
even if it's a girl.
Yeah, she goes, isn't
even
that
if it's a girl.
Isn't that joke old at this point? I go, it never gets old, honey. You don't understand.
Classics never get old.
It doesn't get old.
Do you do that no matter what?
No matter what. No matter what,
I'm just asking. I'm trying to like someone
no
who
matter what.
You're invited to the wedding, but maybe you're not as on familiar terms. So throwing that
saying.
In there would be like, especially if like you're like, oh, they're a little younger. Maybe there's someone like Tyler Aki's age, so they've probably not seen The Godfather.
If Tyler gets married and invites me to his wedding,
it's coming
I'll write
in
it, and he's not going to know what I'm talking
about.
And
we don't care,
but we don't care is right.
He gets to research it.
I got news right. for you. There's a few things.
Check the Google machine.
That I think are a necessity, all right? And just a few, okay? You know, treat others well.
Yeah.
Right? Be a good person.
Be a good person.
Be a good man. Be a good woman, whatever it may be.
That's right.
And watch The Godfather.
Yeah.
I got to tell you. I
got all that except the last part.
Prerequisite.
You know, I feel like from The Godfather, when Johnny Fontaine's in there weeping and Marlon Brando goes, you can act like a man. I mean, come on. Please watch The Godfather. Don't tell me it's too old or you're too young.
That's right.
Tyler.
He smacks him upside the head like
Bruce
Arians.
You need to be smacked, too, that you've never seen The Godfather. But yes, I write it in the, you know, you say, thank you, and may your first child be a masculine child.
When he gets, what's her name's wife? When Michael brings him in at the end and gets him to basically admit that he had set up Sonny.
Carlo.
Carlo?
Yeah.
And then he knows that Carlo's going to be killed.
Oh, yeah.
He knows.
Michael, you cold-hearted bastard.
Yeah.
This now clears things up now because
Michael should have killed
when her. We had at the B'nai Mitzvah, we had these two chairs that you could sign for each Brett and Dana. And Carmen signed it. Brett, may your first child be met. And Brett's like, what is that about?
I might have signed. If there really was one of those, I might have signed it. Brett, may your first child be a masculine child.
Yeah, my wife's always like, the joke's not funny anymore. I say, it's always funny. Okay? Life lessons. From The Godfather. Merc, I'm serious. We've got to do something about this.
I'm not even joking anymore. You got to sit down and watch The Godfather.
All right.
This is insanity.
Give me 2 weeks.
Shameful.
What we need to do, an old man, young man thing with Tyler and Merkin where we get them together and we will officiate as they watch classic
can
films.
Can we do a Twitch cast of it too?
Yes, sidecast.
Like,
a good call.
Like a sidecast where we sit down and we watch it with you guys experiencing it for the first. Like, sure. I want to set this up in my house. I'm not kidding. We're doing this. You okay. And
they're
Tyler.
They're both falling asleep.
Meller. No, stop it. I'll bring the cannoli. Meller will bring the gun. No, I'm just kidding. Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Meller, do you have guns? I can bring
the
guns.
We're doing this. And we're going to put it.
Somebody's bringing
it on,
guns. You got to go with somebody that's got guns.
I want to put it on Twitch. I'm kidding. Stop it.
Well, I mean, listen, Meller, do you ask Meller if he's got guns? You got skis or guns? Which ones do you have?
No, yes. We just need the cannoli. You don't really need the guns.
Thank you.
We're going to have cannoli.
I appreciate that answer. Both.
And you and Tyler, we're doing this, Merc. This is my mission now. I'm going to talk to Danny Zetterman, the content director. We're going to see about doing a sidecast. And I want to bring people. We're going to have people over. We're going to watch The Godfather.
We have a charcuterie tray.
Yeah. Because it's shameful that you've never seen it, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's what a shame.
We'll be right back.
This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host Illinois, Indiana, Purdue, and more in Big Ten play. Buy tickets now at nusports.com.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000.
Bulls news of the day surrounds Lonzo Ball. It's a small tear in his meniscus. First reported by Shams Charania of Stadium and The Athletic. Woj had a tweet a little while ago that we read saying that the Bulls are going to spend the next 24 to 48 hours evaluating the next step, that arthroscopic surgery potentially could happen. It would be a 4 to 6 week timeline. If they don't opt for surgery, I'm not sure what the timeline would look like. But even with surgery, there's a window for Lonzo to return and still help the Bulls come the spring when it's going to be most important. So we'll see. But they're going to be without Lonzo for a little while here. Small tear in the left knee, in the meniscus. He obviously will not be on the road trip. Billy Donovan said that yesterday before this news. Same for Zach LaVine. That road trip kicks off tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Should be a good game. First time they're playing the Bucks. National TV. Hopefully they acquit themselves a little bit better. They bounced back last night, beat a sneaky good Cavs team that has already surpassed its Vegas win total. Already with 27 wins, we are, you know, halfway through the season. So that's pretty incredible. Bulls won easy last night, and boy, Io in the starting lineup in 3 games is shooting like 75%. That's not going to sustain, but 18 points, 8 assists, nearly 6 rebounds, and 2 steals a game.
Nice team win yesterday.
Being inserted as a starter. Yeah, nice to have Caruso back, for sure.
Yeah.
While the Bears continue to interview just about everybody, one guy that won't get the GM job is Ed Dobbs from the Colts.
Right.
Ed Dobbs, Tom Pelissero tweeted yesterday that Ed Dobbs is withdrawing his name from their GM search. And the Bears blog, if you follow Jeff Hughes in the Bears blog, and Jeff gets a lot of stuff right. He's got some well-placed Hallis Hall sources, Yerk. Jeff Hughes at the Bears blog quickly followed up. Dodds' interview went terribly. This is unsurprising.
Terribly.
Terribly.
A terrible and interview.
When pressed
on Dobbs'
on it,
part, on Dobbs' part, or on the questions that were being
on
asked?
On Dobbs'
and
part.
And his response to them.
On Dobbs' part. I mean, he followed up with some tweets suggesting that. And again, Jeff's had many stories right over there. I mean, he's got some excellent, well-placed sources that Dobbs was late and used profanity in the interview. It's like, what do you think you're interviewing for exactly here? Like, how do you show up late to win? You know, like, so I don't know that this is all, you know, because people immediately were going after the Bears then. Yeah, figures. Why would anybody want the job? And Jeff, from his sources, was one to point out, it's not surprising because he wasn't going to get a crack at it anyway, because the interview was just absolutely awful. Who did we hear years ago? Was it? It's not. You know, look. Sometimes. Ken Zampini. Ken Zampini's
Zampisi.
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 Zampini. Ken
Zampese's.
Ernie Zampese's kid.
Well, Ernie's kid. I'm sorry.
Ernie's kid. Ernie Zampese.
I'm all confused.
There you go. I'm here for
Ernie's kid, Ken, had made the interview rounds for a while, remember, and was even a Bears candidate. I don't know, even when they were hiring Foxy or Trestman. Right. And it was always kind of the knock. Not that he was late or anything like that, but that he was a terrible interview. Just it just didn't come across well. And, you know, not everybody's going to be a great interview. And maybe Tops is, I mean, to show up late.
George, Ted, what's up, you sons of bitches?
I mean, really? What is he?
Good to meet you.
You bastards. All right. Hey, let me tell you. Good to see you, Max. Two things that I asked. Did he drive from Indianapolis and came late?
I don't know.
Did he fly from Indianapolis to O'Hare? In that essence, that you're not really responsible for your time at that point. Were you in the hotel?
I don't know.
Were you getting dressed? Did you fall asleep and not make it? I mean, there's thousands of different ways a guy can be late. Ultimately, you're still late.
Yeah, you're late.
But if you fall asleep at the thing and you call, hey, it's a half hour late, I just woke up. Oh, man, what's
going
on?
Good to see you bastards.
Yeah. What the blank's going on? You dirty blankety blanks.
What the heck?
I'm here, Dobbs. It's Dobbs.
That's amazing. We referenced it a little bit earlier, too. How about Joel Embiid last night? First player in the history of the NBA to ever have a 50-10 game in less than 30 minutes. That's pretty remarkable. I would have thought Wilt had done that.
I was about to say, I thought for sure Wilt had done it.
I thought for sure, but Wilt never did. But do you know
You know why? Wilt never only played 27 minutes.
Well, that's true.
There you go.
I mean, he might have done it in 27. It just, he didn't play that. He played 45
minutes. He played 40 minutes a game. Yeah.
He played 45. Yeah. Do you guys know how many 50-10 games Wilt Chamberlain had in his career?
Probably about 200.
It was 118. Do you know who's second?
I do know who's second. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He's not. He's actually third.
LeBron James.
Elgin Baylor is second with 16. So the gap goes from 118 to 16. In a three-way tie for third,
is
50
Jordan?
And 10, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And LeBron.
Nope. Guess again.
Kobe.
Current player.
I got it. Current. Oh, no. Seth Curry.
Nope.
No, he doesn't get the rebounds.
Seth Curry. Oh,
he doesn't get the rebounds. I've already apologized.
But did you say Steph or Seth?
Steph.
Either one.
James Harden.
Wow.
Is tied for third with 8 such games.
By the way, real quickly, Carm, Jessica Taylor, our great marketing director.
Yeah.
Note to self, don't tell Carmen DeFalco I've never seen The Godfather.
I mean, I'm making her come to the house to watch it too. Yeah. Jess, you're on the list. Thanks for listening, calling, and participating. We'll see you tomorrow to wrap the week on a Football Friday as we get you set for the divisional round. Thanks to Midway Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss, and of course, Randy Merkin. And thanks to Field Yates and Tracy Butler for joining us today. And great job by Connor, as always. Who's got the final?
Tori Yorgi.
I figured Tori Yorgi's got the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.